This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. This is podcast number 174 and it's the 3rd of March 2026 even. And I know that you ladies and gents are back for more after the fantastic podcast we had with Charlie Huggins, and we'll talk about that in a little while. But Henry, welcome back, sir. Good to have you back.
Very nice to be with you, Peter.
I hope, you know, life has been treating you well in comparison to what's going on in and around us, mate.
It's a bit scary at the moment on the news. I mean, before we dive into all of that, I'd just like to echo your comments on Charlie on the last episode, because, wow, what an episode that was. Went back and listened to it again. Loved recording it. Loved listening to it back again. And we've had some really, really great feedback from people on YouTube, on X, on Blue Sky. So I think the audience enjoyed it just as much as we did. So a huge thank you to Charlie for that.
Absolutely. I mean, he's been inundated, mate. I mean, the wonderful thing about our global audience is that they do love a good guest. So they come out in their numbers to listen, which they did with Charlie. And even better, countless of them have actually gone and followed Charlie's account on X and signed up for his Substack as well, which I'm really, really chuffed about. So helping him to build an audience, a bigger audience, which he thoroughly deserves. So some of the feedback, Henry, that we got, I'm just going to go through a couple of these of people. And we've got at RichieF321. What a great podcast this is. Some key points, AI talk, valuations. Just seen Nvidia make comments regarding investments on this. Charlie is spot on in there. Also, Walmart and Costco blew my mind. Probably one of the best podcasts I've listened to recently and can relate to it personally. Keep it up, guys, and cheers. So that was brilliant from Richie. Our fantastic friend who now only, you know, watches us on YouTube, which is great, is Terry Vaughan, 2248, on YouTube. An excellent podcast and a big thank you to your special guest, Charlie. And he made excellent points by focusing on quality companies and cash flow. Excellent low risk income ideas, including primary health properties. And keep up the good work, gentlemen. Take care and have a great weekend. Thank you, Terry. David Linden, at David Linden 1423. Thanks for a great podcast, guys. Big thank you to Charlie for such a very insightful interview. I know Charlie isn't a fan of miners, but every dog has its day for me, and I've waited patiently for Ecora Resources to get a chuff on. In brackets, that's an old Lancashire saying. Have you heard that saying?
I have heard of get a chuff on. I challenge that. I think that's Yorkshire, not Lancashire, but age old argument there.
There you go. Keep up the sterling work, chaps, and he's from him, so it's brilliant. More recently, at Wide Awake Asleep on YouTube. Brilliant podcast as always, guys. Great guests. Brilliant. Thank you very much. At Tench Blank, another interesting podcast. I thought Charlie Huggins was a great guest to have on. Trader Mark, caught up today. Great listen and guest. Very useful thoughts and insights from Charlie Huggins. Mark Dampier came back. Bags of common sense. No nonsense approach. I'm biased, but I did enjoy working with Charlie, and we agree on so much. So there you go. Even Mark Dampier's coming into the mix and telling us what he thought about it.
Wonderful stuff.
Must admit, I had to give him a nudge to squeeze that out of him. I'm listening now. And then he did come back to tell us what it was about. So I asked him, I said, look, what do you think of it then? So he came back out with that. So if you haven't done it already, please go and find Charlie on X. He's at Charlie Huggins _. Yeah. Normal spelling of Charlie. Charlie Huggins, Huggins. So yeah, fantastic feedback, fantastic numbers we had on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, and great numbers on YouTube as well. So thank you all that gave the feedback, followed Charlie as well, liked on YouTube. You know what, Henry? One of the things I found really interesting about that podcast, and I had to go back and think about it for a little while, was, and this goes back to the conversation you and I have had with numerous other people, is that in this old universe of investing, there are so many different ways of going about it, and we can all be successful at it in different ways. And we don't have to measure our success by other people's success.
Yeah.
You know, because some people coming out on a weekend and going, oh, my portfolio is up 2%, or my portfolio is down 2%. And then, and some people going, oh, no, does it, you know, and today is a classic of the markets getting absolutely smashed. And it almost being like a tumbleweed moment where the people that are most active on X on a daily basis have gone away, have gone quiet.
Yeah.
You know, so I've put out a post to say, look, these are the stocks that were mine today that I got absolutely smashed. And this morning, you know, I'm looking at, I've read the RNS for what's it? Central Asia Mining, right?
Oh,
Camel.
Don't.
Yeah, I've got to talk about it, Henry. Right? I've got to talk about it. Because you've held it for a little while longer than me, and I'd only held it for a year-ish. And it had been smashing it. And it was sitting at significant highs just yesterday. And this morning, I'm looking at it, I'm reading the RNS, I'm going, yeah, but that's going to be offset by the copper and the other bits and pieces that they're in and all the rest of it. So, you know,
let's
that,
rewind
that potential 120
here,
million charge won't impact them that much. And anyway, I've got my stop loss in, so I'll be all right. Anyway, I go away, I do other things, I come back, and I'm looking, you know, sometimes you've got to double check, you got to check your eyes.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, it's been absolutely smashed. And I've been forced out of the stock. And I'm looking at it and going, I'll just, no words, Henry. So I put it out there, been smashed, stop loss triggered, I'm exited. But it wasn't something I wanted to do today.
Yeah.
Because it was a commodity stock and it had been doing really well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it. For people that don't know, CAML, Central Asia Metals, right? It's a Central European mining business, predominantly focused on, it used to be sort of silver, but it's got a large basket, including copper. This it extracts from a couple of assets, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan area. And for a couple of years, the market's been sort of tepid about it, because although it's got a very high return on capital employed, it's double digits easily and has been for a long time, pays a good dividend, you know, 5, 6, 7%, depending on when you buy your shares. The mines are running out. They are, you know, when you've extracted metal from a mine, it doesn't go on forever. And so they've got to find another asset. And last year, they went after a Canadian copper asset. They very nearly made an acquisition. Then somebody else came along and bid the price up. They went up and up and up and eventually decided to walk away. And the shares cratered because now, well, we've still got these mines and they're still going to run out at some point. Anyway, then the copper price takes off. And the world suddenly goes, well, hang on a minute. All right, these mines might run out, but we're looking sort of 10, 15 years in the future. Right now, we've got a huge flipping mine full of copper. The shares go up about 140% over 12 months. I mean, they just skyrocket.
Skyrocketed, yeah.
Bear in mind, I've held these things for years, and I've, you know, I bought them high, I bought them low, I bought them in the middle. I've never sold any.
You've been very patient, mate.
I was wondering whether I should have done. And then today they come out and they say, hey, look, it's kind of bad news, guys. One of these mines actually isn't going to last as long as we said it was. We're taking a $120 million write down. Now, this is a multiple of the annual revenue for the company. It's a huge flipping write down. The shares drop 15% on the news, 18%, 20%. Peter texts me and goes, guys, Henry, I'm out, I'm done. I said, well, I'm still in it. I think we finished the day 25% down, maybe even worse than that.
No, I think it finished at 23%, mate. It eased a little bit at the end.
Jeez, I mean,
it's gonna go on my watch list now. I'm gonna wait and see what happens. I think the results are out in 2 weeks, 3 weeks time. So I'll get a bit of everyone will get a little bit of a say on how much they've done regarding the bull market and how much that's added to the coffers. They were debt free. So we'll see where that $120 million takes them, as to whether or not it takes them back into debt. But I think that for the thing for me is they're now in a position where there isn't any bad news. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. Shouldn't be any more bad news coming forthcoming ahead of the results in 2 weeks' time. So they'll get a good look as to how strong they are, because they've been really, really shrewd about not overpaying for assets, which is why they walked away from that deal. And this now is just a little something, well, not a big something, which has put a little kibosh on the momentum. And I think it's that thing where the markets were selling off anyway today, and it just accelerated it, because I don't think that warranted a 25% fall at one stage today, but it happened.
It's
And
been
I was
I
forced
mean,
out. I was forced out, having trimmed it, in January.
it reminds me a lot of another holding of mine, which I've still got, Vistry Housing.
Right. Yeah.
Accounting errors last year, the shares fall off a cliff, then there's a profit warning, the shares fell off another cliff. It was like, it's a disaster. Nobody wants to go near this thing. The company's junk, right? Only thing is, look at what the share price has done since then. It's been recovering. Now, just because the market makes these snap judgments, well, fine, okay, it's bad news. It's a ride down. The mine's not going to last as long as it was. They've not said the mine's shut tomorrow. They've not said we thought there was copper in it and there isn't. They've not said we've got a stockpile of ore and someone's nicked it all. They've said that the mine's not going to last as long as it was. So I'm kind of in the same mindset as you, Peter. I don't think this is the total write-off that the market's had the initial reaction signal. So I'm going to take the slow and steady approach with this one and just wait and see where we are. Hopefully, I'm not here in 6 months going, oh, geez, it's down
Yeah,
another
we'll have to
30.
wait and see. But like I say, in a couple of weeks' time, the results come out. The CEO, CFO will put a hopefully plain speaking sort of stance as to exactly where they are and what to look out for and where things are going to be improved and how well they've done out of the commodity bull market that they've had for the last 12 months. We're talking about this, ladies and gents, because as unless you've been, down. I'm going to say, I'll use the analogy of down a mine and not been up for the last 3 days. You would have seen what's happened over the course of the weekend, the noise around all of that, all of the uncertainty that I'm not sure what word to put on it, just say the word Iran, regarding that, has brought so much uncertainty to the markets. And today, yesterday wasn't so bad regarding the markets, but today, because of the worries about inflation, supply chains, chains, etc., oil prices spiking, gas prices spiking, gold meant to be the safety falling. Market was spooked, and it just started to fall this morning and just accelerated and accelerated and accelerated, where it was almost indiscriminate until the last 20 minutes, half an hour of the markets. At one stage today, when I looked at the FTSE All Share, I think there was possibly less than 20 shares in positive territory at one stage today. And I was beginning to get very worried about how bad the markets could be. And it bettered itself across the course of the day. But it's still, and I've got the figures here, bearing in mind, just last week, we were at 10,910. And remarkably, given we were sat at, 7,000-ish forever during 2024 and a bit of 25, we were nearing 11,000 on the FTSE 100 last week. We dropped 2.75% today, and the FTSE closed at 10,484. That is the largest fall I've seen on the FTSE for a significant period of time. Cut through butter through 10.8, 10.7, 10.6, 10.5 to finish at 10,484. AIM All Share got smashed by 3.6%, smaller tiddler stocks. Again, back below 700, back below 800, that I used to speak about a lot of the time. So yeah, so gold getting smashed, oil spiking, gas prices spiking, everyone's worried. Sterling getting sold off. I'm not talking about the football player. Currencies. So yeah. And prior to that, Henry, you and I had a conversation because I was already getting worried about the markets, given the news that of what actions were taken by somebody at the weekend. And I said, oh, maybe we should talk about long-term winning compounders. That was a topic I said, have a think about what you think. And you came back and went, thumbs up. Let's talk about those kind of stocks. So that's what we're going to do, folks, today. We're going to talk about long-term winning compounders. I've always got to put a twist on it. So I've got a company that's not actually compounding now, but hopefully could compound going forward. But I'm going to let, I've done a lot of talking, so I'm going to let Henry start and give you guys a little bit of a heads up as to why we've chosen this topic and a little bit of spin on it, and then talk about his first stock. So over to you, Henry.
Lovely. Thanks, Peter. Well, I just wanted to start by kind of touching on that point you've just nudged on here, right? So when we talk about a compounder, what actually is a compounder? Because investors throw this term around all the time. A compounder isn't just a business whose share price has gone up a lot. I think some people think it is. It's not. It's a business that can reinvest the capital that it's got at high returns. So it's got a high return on capital employed or a high return on invested capital. It can do it for a long period of time. It has done it for a long period of time, and we believe will continue to do so. It can do that without taking on too much debt or having to issue lots of shares all the time. And it's got a management team that makes rational sort of decisions. You know, this is what we mean by a compounding business. It's not just looking at a share price and going, it's gone up in a up and to the right over the last 10 years. So you saying that you've got a couple of names here that you think might do well in the future, actually, I think that could still fall into this bucket. So I'm curious to see what names you throw out for our audience. You know, I try to think about compounders as businesses that basically convert time into shareholder value. The longer you hold them, the more value you get. And they don't constantly require intervention. You don't constantly need to be giving them more money or buying them or selling them. You just leave them alone and you get more value. So they tend to have high, endurable returns on capital employed. So this is a statistic or a quality that Peter and I talk about quite a lot. Really, this return should be stable. We don't want something that's fluctuating around all over the place. We want something that's actually visible on the income statement. So, not an accounting illusion. So, I quite like looking at the cash return as much as just the pure return on capital employed. And it should be consistent across cycles. So, right now, you know, we're in a fairly steady economic market. What happens if we hit a recession? Does that return collapse? Or does it stay steady? Now, you often find these businesses are capital light. They don't require lots of capital to be deployed, so they can generate healthy returns on the little bit of capital they've got. They've got big profit margins. Or sometimes they can be in industrial businesses that know how to use their asset base well. They've got good pricing power, so resilient margins. And when revenue grows, costs don't grow with them. So often you will see businesses that have got high revenue growth, the costs grow at the same rate. That's not really a compounder because you have to spend more to get more. What we're looking for are businesses that don't necessarily have to spend more to get more revenue in. We want low net debt. And sometimes, you know, these businesses can look like mergers and acquisitions, sort of conglomerates. So Berkshire Hathaway is the classic one that people talk about, but there are lots of others out there. You know, Judges Scientific is one that I own that historically has gone and bought lots of different businesses. They've bolted them into the main machine. They've been very principled about what they've bought and how they've bought it, and what they've paid. And so they've now got quite a healthy basket of sort of merged entities into the parent company. So, with that in mind, I thought I'd start with the first business on my list that I've been reading about. And this falls into the sort of decentralized acquisition platform bucket, if that's what we can call it. And this business is Halma. HLMA is the ticker. Now, Halma is a conglomerate of 45 different operating businesses, basically managed in a fairly decentralized manner. So Halma tends to buy a business and then they let them get on with doing what they do best. They don't start tinkering around with what they do and dictating from the top down. The company focuses on trying to make, as they describe it, the world safer, cleaner, and healthier. And therefore, they operate across three segments. You've got safety, you've got environment and analysis, and you've got medical equipment. So they produce all sorts of things: smoke detectors, healthcare equipment, door sensors, water treatment products. Most of the products that they produce are really, really niche. So they tend to be specialized in a very small area of the market. There tends to be limited competition in that market, and they tend to have bought market leaders in the segments that they operate in. 75% of their sales are generated across the US, Europe, and the UK. So they are somewhat geographically, ooh, using a headphone here, somewhat geographically diversified, but only within those three sectors. They've got a 15% return or cash return on capital. They've got a 2.6% free cash flow yield, and they've got a tiny little dividend, 0.7%, which is really sort of symbolic of these acquisition platforms. They tend to retain capital because they know that by buying a new business, by retaining cash and using that to buy a new business, that can generate better returns for you as a shareholder and paying it out as a dividend. So I think this is sort of a really good acquisition M&A platform. I think it's a really interesting company, and I think it's a genuine long-term compounder.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe, and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
Lost your volume there, Henry. I can't hear you then for a second. Not sure where your volume's gone, mate. Just dropped out entirely.
Still nothing.
That's better. You're back now.
Right.
I missed the
Sorry
last
about
minute
that.
of what you just said there. Can you repeat
Right.
that last bit again for me, mate, please? Sorry.
Yeah, I was saying, I think this is basically a really good mergers and acquisitions platform. Now, whether the valuation reflects that high quality permanently or not, I'm not sure about. But I think if you can get this at a good valuation, I think this definitely falls into the bucket of a sort of long-term compounder.
Cool. Well, my mum will be very pleased that you've spoken about Alma. She used to work there, long retired since working there, but she's got an absolute shed load of these shares, and loves the little divvy checks coming in every twice a year. I've always thought it was one of those sort of toy-toysy sort of shares that, you look at what's going on with the market, and it doesn't ever seem to do much. It's not one of them stocks that move up, on any given positive day, it moves up 4, 5, 6, 7, 8%. Doesn't really just seem to do a lot. And then you look back after 6 months or 12 months, and you think, crikey, it's up 15%, it's up 20%, and it still remains, despite being one of the outperformer stocks long term, one of those that's not really that. I don't think it's. Given the actual sort of investor, private investor sort of cheerleaders get onto stocks that are steady plodders that don't really have a high alpha, they're not bouncing around like that. They're steady, they've been growing for years, they do what they say on the tin and just grow. It doesn't get enough recognition, I don't think, Henry.
I'd agree.
And I remember speaking to my mum, I think it was back in January. Because she doesn't even look at the, doesn't even check the shares, doesn't even look at the news on them. She just tells me when, oh, I got another dividend check, Pete. I'm like, well, are you going to reinvest that? She's like, no, that's for me. I'm like, okay, fine, right? But they purchased a little small, I think, let me just get this right. remember it right. There's a fire and safety company in Italy. So they've gone in and bought this little, and I'm thinking, it's all little bolt-ons. I can't remember the last time I did a big purchase. And I've mentioned it to my mum, and she just went, "What about it?" Not interested at all. But it's a great company. It's been a great acquirer of companies. Never seemingly overpays. Been a great compounder. I think it needs more recognition. And I think when these markets are doing what they're doing right now, people are going to be looking for stocks that have weathered this sort of volatility over the 10, 15, 25 years and gone. The roller coaster of a ride I've had in that particular stock, let me move on and go and buy some Alma where I know that they're in that niche. And no matter what happens to the market, their services, solutions, and equipments are going to be needed. So great call. I will ask my mum, although she never listens to the podcast, to have a listen to what you've had to say about Alma.
Lovely,
Yeah.
lovely.
But yeah, good shout, mate. Good shout on that one. Right. As you know, even though I came up with the idea for this pod, I always break the rules regarding the stocks that I pick. So you'll
Go
have to
on.
bear with me here. Yeah. And I haven't got the metrics in front of me. So you're gonna have to pull this up. The first company I'm going to talk about, which I think meets my criteria of a compounder, is a US listed company. I had the UK smaller version of this company up until last February, February 25, and then it was acquired. But this is an area that I thought, given all the volatility around the markets and the conversations I was having with Charlie Huggins in the last one regarding tech and what can be impacted by tech, I would like to speak, Henry, with regards to a stock that is called Waste Management. Ticker symbol is WM in the US, and it's an absolute behemoth of a stock. I held Renewi until last year, as I said, and this stock is one of the behemoths in the waste industry business. It is called Waste Management, market cap 97.7 billion. Yeah. Behemoth of a company. Is a provider of environmental services and solutions, provides collection, recycling, disposal solutions and services to millions of residential, commercial, industrial, municipal customers throughout the US and Canada. Its segments include East tier, West tier, recycling, processing and sales, renewable energy and waste management, healthcare solutions. East tier primarily consists of geographical areas located in East US, the Great Lakes region, and all of Canada. Won't go into the bits and pieces, but renewable energy develops, operates, and promotes projects for beneficial use of land gas. So some of the waste goes into landfill, the gas comes out of that, and they reuse that gas and create power. But the bit that I'm interested in, and what I was interested in with Renewi that got taken over last year, is the e-waste and electronics side of it, yeah, which is a small bit of
Yes.
their business. And I spoke about this on the pod where I was talking about Renewi. You've got copper, silver, all those different sort of metals and all the rest of it that are in these TVs and all computers and telephones and so on and so forth, and all the gadgets that you can think of. Waste Management Inc. are going in, stripping all the bits and pieces, separating them all up, collecting it as waste. Obviously, the cost of running the business is the cost of running the business, but you're picking it up at cents in the pound, if not fractions of a cents in a pound, gathering all that copper up over time. And then right now, yeah, how many dollars are you getting that for per pound, per tonnage of copper? Maybe even a little bit of gold, even some silver off the solar panels, yeah, and so on and so on and so forth. So that's the reason why I want to talk about this particular stock. It's over the past 10 years, Henry, the shares have quietly gone about their business and are up over 300%. Okay, but last 5 years up 100%. Yeah, so you're already compounding over 5 years, 15% ish on a compound basis to get the 100% return, a bit more than that. 52-week range for the stock is $194 to $244. As of today, it was sitting at £244, $242 per share, so just shy of its 52-week high and also all-time high. PE is a bit rich at 36, but given where it's come and what it's done, that's the reason why the PE is a bit rich at 36-ish is what I saw last time. Dividend yield is small at 1.36%. But as I say to people a lot of the times, don't ignore a company just because the yield is small when it's doing 15, 20% per year compounding going forward. I'd rather have that than a 5, 6, 7% divvy of a share, which then goes down 15% and I'm a minus 8% compounding each year. So yeah, with regards to its dividend, it's going ex-dividend on the 13th of March. And yeah.
Really interesting company that, Pete. It's not one I know at all, but I think you've picked one here that's banging the compounding model, to be honest. It's scaled, it's grown, its revenues have increased, its profits have increased, it's got a double-digit return on capital. The cash return is slightly slimmer. So its return on capital is 11.5%. Its cash return is only 7%. So it's toying with a business that's not necessarily going to keep compounding. And this was really kind of my question for you. It's about the valuation, because
yes,
whilst historically compounders that are high quality will perform well, if that earnings per share growth starts to stagnate and the returns start to stagnate, you can still generate really mediocre returns by buying a high quality business at a high valuation, and it then stagnates and goes nowhere. So do you think that this business has still got growth potential for its long-term earnings potential? Or do you not necessarily have a view on that? Because I think
I do have a view. Okay. I have a very positive view. My view is almost a slight deflectionist regarding what you've said, in the sense of we're looking at the US and Canada,
yeah,
right? Growing populations, right? With regards to the amount of stuff that is recyclable and waste, that's not going to decrease going forward,
yeah,
right? So it is an area where I'm looking at the resilience of the business and the fact that what they do is not something that's going to be able to be replicated by another company, and it needs to be addressed.
Okay.
Yeah. And they've got the network and systems in place already, and therefore the growth is going to be there. And if anything, if they adapt any sort of AI or tech or whatever going forward regarding some of their back office stuff, it will become more efficient.
Yeah.
And therefore, the return on invested capital will increase. And therefore, that will then compound at a greater rate and give you better cash flow going forward. And the other thing I would add, Henry, and I touched on it earlier regarding the recycling, the e-waste, paper, metals, etc., that's going to increase going forward. Yeah. So there's more work for them to do. And I suspect they'll become more efficient at it and therefore more profitable going forward. So that's why I picked that one, because what industries are going to go away? Waste management is never going to go away.
Well, I don't think you're going to get AI sorting cardboard from plastic, are you?
No. They can put that in the machinery.
My famous last words,
they can put it into the machinery and the separators and all the rest of it within the warehouses that they were. So you might get AI into the technology to separate and identify, which would be great. And that, they probably got that going on already, Henry. But I think with regards to going autonomous waste trucks and going collecting and not sure. I think we're a few decades away from that yet, but who knows? But yeah, richly valued and $97 billion market cap, which is a big size company. You know, that will be in the top 10 FTSE companies, I think.
In fairness, again, and I'll use Berkshire Hathaway as the benchmark here. Big companies can still grow. They might not grow at 50, 60% a year, but you don't need them to. If they compound at 10% a year, and the last 3 years' returns, I mean, we've got 14%, 12%, 9%, and 11% year to date. you know, if
Benny.
you can keep that going over a decade or two, you will far outperform the business that does 50% in a year and then goes nowhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, so that's why I picked that one, Henry. I just wanted to touch on the fact that with regards to speaking about the US, I need to find this now because I probably won't be able to get it straight away. But I was talking about Buffett, and I know you're a big Buffett fan, and so was Charlie Huggins, or is, as he was speaking about Buffett last week. And he retired from being the CEO last week of Berkshire Hathaway, which you mentioned. And what they were saying about him and what his returns were over the 60 years was that he was compounding at 19.7% over the period of time that he was a CEO. And the numbers that I pulled up for that stat was a £10,000 investment. Now, most people are doing are putting that into their ISA each year, and some of them are putting in more than that per year for their ISA. But just £10,000 compounded over 60 years at 19.7% would give an individual £484.9 million. So if you're putting 20K in a year, you may be able to halve that period down to 30, 34 years. So at your age, Henry, you could retire a very wealthy man at 60. Yeah. If you started now and managed to keep that at 19%. But I'm always saying to people, your target really should be about 10, with 3% from from your dividend yield and 7% compounded. And that lowers your risk and the volatility within your portfolio. And as we mentioned earlier today, there was lots of panic, lots of selling off, indiscriminate selling. So not all of us can be Buffett and compound at 19.7%. But yeah, that performance is absolutely staggering consistently over that period of time. So
Fantastic. And
yeah, so that's my first one, Henry. I've got another one for you that I'm sure you're going to hate, but I'm going to mention it anyway. So over to you, mate, for another stock, and then I'm going to mention the Just Giving page that other people have supported us on as well.
lovely. So my next one is one that it's not a company I hear people talking about a lot, to be honest. It's Rotork,
Okay.
ROR is the ticker. It's a UK-based business again that designs and manufactures industrial components. So they work with oil and gas, water and power, chemicals, process industrials. Think a widget manufacturer. Nearly half their revenue is derived from the oil and gas segment, and they produce process control widgets, basically fluid actuators, gearboxes, valves, that sort of stuff. Now, for me, this is a perfect example of an industrial, high quality industrial sort of conglomerate. 19.5% cash return on capital, 4.1% free cash flow yield, and a 2.5% dividend yield. Now, the business has basically, if you think about a machine on an oil rig or a turbine or wherever, when you install this thing for, let's say, 100 million and a widget breaks, it stops working almost immediately and you need to replace that widget. Now, you call Rotork up and Rotork come out and they go, all right, okay, well, yes, the widget costs, oh, I don't know, £10.50 plus our engineer's time at, say, I don't know, $100 an hour. Yes, we'll repair that. Next year, the same widget breaks on another oil rig, and you call up Rotork and they go, right, well, now the widget costs, oh, £11.50, and the engineer costs $101 an hour. Great, you think, can still afford that. And the year after, another widget breaks, and now it's £11.50 and $102 an hour. You never actually question why this price is creeping up a little bit, but Rotork are just nudging their margins up ever so slightly, nudging their revenue up ever so slightly. And so this means that not only are they repairing critical infrastructure, you know, you're not going to leave your oil rig not working because of a £10.50 widget. you can generate strong returns through an economic cycle, and you can also protect your margins. So I think that it's a great example of a business that, although it's cyclically exposed, oil and gas is a cyclical industry, I still think it's able to compound its revenue and its margins through its installed product base and its pricing. So I quite like it as a business. Any thoughts?
It's one of those companies that I've always been worried about, because the a lot of the what you've said about it, and I've been spoken about it before as well, about the a lot of the business and services that they supply go into, if I'm wrong, please correct me, the oil industry.
Yes, is that's it, right.
So when things are going well, they're busy, aren't they? Yeah. So I've always been a bit concerned that they are at the mercy of how well that industry is doing at a time. And when things aren't going so well, they tend to be, I think people put up with the wear and tear and sometimes the neglect. And when they get busy, when oil prices go up, they tend to get more busy because people want all systems running as efficiently as possible to make as much money. And maybe I'm wrong in saying it, that some companies will neglect their kit and, you know, put people at risk. The other thing I was worried about regarding them when I looked at them historically was that they're heavily exposed to the US as well. And therefore, how, and maybe this would work in their favor actually, and with me thinking about it and saying it out loud, was that the tariff noise may have impacted their shares. And now the tariff noise is off the table, and some companies are meant to be getting, you know, almost a redress, if not payback, for some of the tariffs costs that they had to be incurred upon. And Trump has been kicked out and said, look, you know, you can't, those tariffs aren't null and void now. You've got to repay these different companies. Not sure how much of that's going to happen, by the way. Probably none. Maybe this will work in their favor if all the tariffs are just set at 15% and 10%. So it could be a positive for them, Henry.
They're less exposed to the US.
But bear with me. Given all what I've just said, having looked at how they performed historically, they've weathered all kinds of markets and travails. And, you know, from left to right, the share price has still gone upwards. Or am I wrong?
Well, the share, you're slightly off on the share price. It depends what period you look at.
Right, okay.
They have had some rocky patches. I mean, 2022, COVID, bad year for everybody. But the
exactly.
Shares were down 15%. And they've not quite been offset. So, you know, they're up 9%, they're down 15%. They're up 5.5%, they're down 3%. It's like they take two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah, cycles, mate. Yeah.
Now, they're less exposed to the US than you might think. It's only 19% of their revenue.
I had it much higher than that, so I stand corrected. Thank you. Okay.
So that's less of an issue for me, although you're right, it is a potential impact for them. The majority of their revenue is actually Europe, the Middle East, and Africa, 30%.
Europe, Middle... see, you've mentioned the word there, haven't you? That could be give them a bit of a kibosh for a little while. Middle East could get...
And this is the thing, considering the context of what's going on right now, do you
right
really
now,
want something
yeah.
exposed to the oil industry? I'm sure
Absolutely.
Everyone's got an opinion on that.
Yeah, but given what's going on in the Middle East, that could create a whole lot of work for them going forward.
I think,
you know?
The thing for me with this business, it's about the management team. So
yeah,
they've clearly got a model here that allows them to grow an industrial. Now, if a segment of this starts to fail or go wrong, you can deploy this model elsewhere. They do other things other than supporting the oil and gas industry. You know, they've got exposure to chemicals, process engineering, industrial manufacturing, water, power. You could grow these sectors, and there's nothing to say that in the future they won't grow these sectors if the oil and gas sector becomes particularly erratic or starts to struggle. And I think that although that's not the direction that they're talking about right now, I personally think they've got a management team that would be capable of making that transition in the future should they need to. So for me, Rotork itself isn't necessarily the name that I'd go and buy, but I think it's a good example of an industrial type business that's showing signs of being a good compounding machine in the industrial space.
Yeah, no, it's a good call. And any sort of sell-off, given the circumstances of the markets right now, this week, beginning of March, might create an opportunity, Henry. Might be a buying opportunity going forward regarding those shares, given the need for what they're going to be doing going forward, accelerated possibly as a catalyst regarding this particular noise going forward. So yeah, no, good call, good company, and again, chosen well because it's not one of them that you see a lot of people favouring on X or any other platform. So yeah, like that one, mate. Well done, good
Thank
call,
you.
good call. Definitely investigate that one. Right, okay, folks, we've forgot. On the last pod, because we're so busy talking to Charlie Huggins, my apologies, folks, but we forgot to mention the fundraise that we're doing on the behalf of Mark Bentley with the FT Financial Literacy and Inclusion campaign. So financial education is the remit that we've taken this year for the Twin Peaks Investing charity challenge to try and raise £5,000 to help disadvantaged schools up and down the country and to educate young people and adults regarding the necessary financial education that they need to become financially independent, hopefully. But some of you have already started donating, and I've just got to go through a quick shout regarding these individuals that have already donated for us. Excluding me and Henry, that we've already made our donations. So thank you, Henry, for doing that as well. We're currently sitting at £1,270 from the individuals that have already donated. Really appreciate that. Matthew Gregory, our great friend Matthew, started with a donation, and he said, didn't have a chance to meet Mark properly, briefly met him at the Investors Summit, and he was a great moderator, improving financial education is a wonderful and fitting memorial for a kind man. So thank you there, Matt. And you donated £30. So thank you ever so much. Friend of ours, we're thinking of him right now as we speak. Jay, Mark's memory will always be with us. Going to miss him lots. Will not be the same going to cricket or other events without him. Cannot get a true friend like him. We will always remember him. That was from Jay, £100 from Jay. Mark Allery, excellent choice for support. I didn't know Mark Bentley, but I thoroughly approve of his aims. This might be the start of a habit, as in making donations. So thank you for that, Mark Allery, and donated £20. Sanjay Kcareer, a fantastic supporter of ours and listener of the podcast and donator of to the charities that we supported in the past. Peter and Henry, thank you for everything you do for the investing community. It's always appreciated. And Sanjay donated £100. So thank you, Sanjay. That's very much appreciated. Our good friend Reg Hoare, who is at MHP, a big marketeer regarding all things to do with stocks and funds and companies across the UK and abroad. May Mark's memory be a blessing. And Reg donated £50. Thank you ever so much for that. Our good friend Karen by the Sea. Karen, thank you ever so much. Donated £20. RIP Mark, lovely man, was her words. And a very dear friend of Mark's, Leon Boros, who everyone knows across the investing community. Honored to have known him. He will be sadly missed. He donated £100. So thank you, Leon. Really appreciate that. A Peter M. We're not sure which Peter this is. I didn't know Mark, but everyone has great things to say about him. And this seems like a very fitting charity to set up in his name. I'm sure he would have approved. Well done, Pete and Henry. So that was £100 from Pete. So thank you ever so much for that. Kevin and Joan Taylor. Kevin is on X, a fantastic individual who supports Henry and I regarding the pod and also the charities we've supported in the past. In memory of a top guy, exclamation mark. He worked tirelessly to improve shareholders' rights, fought tooth and nail against the establishment to get money back for investors regarding the Beaufort scandal and the Harley scandal. Gone too early. And Kevin and Joanne donated £500. So massive thank you to Kevin and Joanne. And also Matt Rate or Rort. I'm going to pronounce this wrong. WRATE. Matt, thank you ever so much. Listen to the podcast every week and think you guys do a great show. Keep up the good work. If you could cover Speedy Hire following the Velocity business plan reaching the end of its enabled phase. That's a request. I think we'll have to look into that one another time, Matt. But
I'm
thank you for your £50 donation. So that takes us to 1270. Fantastic. Thank you all for your donations. Henry, any thoughts regarding some of those comments and the championing of what we're doing and the charity we've chosen to support and the comments and the amount we've done so far?
I think that's genuinely really touching. Thank you everyone that's written in. It's really nice to hear so many nice comments about Mark. He really was such a lovely chap, and it's very, very clear just how much he meant to people. And so it's lovely to see people, putting these little comments on. If you do have any stories that you can share about your time with Mark, please do send them in to us. Happy to always share them with the audience because he was a lovely chap. And thank you again to everybody that's donated, because this is a wonderful charity. The FT Literacy and Inclusion Campaign is all about financial education for disadvantaged people across the UK, and it's exactly up Mark's alley. So it's a real privilege to be fundraising for it this year.
Thank you so much, Henry. Somebody mentioned, I forget the person's name on X, that this is the Mar Ben that used to be on Motley Fool decades and decades and decades ago. So if you are one of those that have been around the markets for the last 10, 20 years, this is Marvin from Motley Fool. So this is the individual we're talking about, Mark Bentley. If you go to www.justgiving.com forward slash page Twin Peaks Investing Podcast 2026. That's the website page. That's where you can make a donation and leave your comments. And we'll just strive to get towards £5,000 and then help those schools and in community projects regarding financial education. Thank you ever so much, ladies and gents, for your support thus far. Now, I have to mention this stock, which Henry's going to probably poo-poo and rip apart, because I tend to just, never stay within the metrics of the same sort of metrics I've given regarding the reasons why we've chosen the topics we've chosen. I'm going to choose this stock, and I'm going to buy this stock before I tell anybody else about this stock. I'm going to be buying this stock once this market settles regarding all the noise going on regarding Iran and all the rest of it. Henry's already smirking, and he knows I don't pick stocks that other people pick. So here we go. Right, so this company has got a disparaging name as the rat catcher, right? And given the politics of the day, given the shenanigans of all the different things that's going on in and around the world right now, we probably need more rat catchers, I think, Henry. I'm trying to be polite. This company is called Rentokil, Henry, ticker symbol RTO. UK based company which is engaged in pest control, hygiene, and well-being services. Company services include pest control, hygiene, and well-being, connect technology, operational expertise, and innovation. The company is a commercial pest control company providing risk mitigation, reassurance, responsiveness to customers. It offers a complete range of pest control services for rodents to flying and crawling insects to other forms of wildlife management. Offers a range of hygiene services, including the provision and maintenance of products such as soap, hand sanitizer dispensers, hand dryers, air care, purification, cubicle and service sanitizer, feminine hygiene units, hand dryers. Sorry, I've already said that. Toilet paper dispensers and floor protection mats. This is the bit that no one talks about, Henry. It's connected devices. Pest Connect help to provide customers with complete pest detection solutions and traceability. Pets Connect is a remote monitoring system for rodents. You've got a massive warehouse, you've got massive fields. You can put all the little pods things out there that trap them and all the rest of it, but you need to know where they're going and what they're doing. Don't need to have a man and a dog or whatever else there. Do it remotely, Henry. Yeah, 52-week range on this company, 306 to 486. Market cap 11.6 billion. PE is a bit rich. Yield is 2%. But I've been tracking it forever, this stock, right? And in October, I thought, oh, the catalyst is here, right? Because they made a massive acquisition with Terminix, which hasn't gone as well as quickly as it should have done. And they came out in October, and the share price spiked 10%, and basically said they were seeing signs of recovery in the North American performance of the business. And I thought, right, this is it. And I thought, let me just see what happens with Rollins next. Waited for Rollins data to come out, and Rollins data wasn't that great. And subsequently, the share price has ebbed and flowed a little bit. But right now, it's sitting down today, 5%. And I'm thinking, market in America is going to be selling off. They're seeing that as an opportunity to sell it off. Down 5% today at 427. If that gets anywhere near £4 in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I will be buying that stock.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code TWINPEETS. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe today using the TWINPEETS promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit shareScope.co.uk for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
There you go, Henry. Rip it to shreds. I've got two other stocks I'm just going to quickly mention as compounders. Well, after you've told me about one more, if we've got time.
Well,
all right. Try and be gentle. I know how ferocious you can be.
We've talked about Rentokil Initial. And do you remember I said to you that this is a business that AI can't touch unless you get the AI rat catchers out.
Forgot that comment. Right. Okay. Fair enough. I'll take that. Is that you being positive towards my pick?
That's me being positive about it.
Is that as far as it gets, or does it get better?
Well, the only caveat being unless somebody invents the Terminator and deploys those after the rats in the field. But then I think we've got bigger problems.
Little mice going after robot mice going after other mice. Yeah, I can see it. Yeah.
Really interesting business this, Peter. And when we last spoke about this, I think this was probably early 24. It was one of the first companies we ever discussed.
How many sleeps have I had since? And I can't remember what I did last week, mate.
Well, the shares were up at £5 something, I think, maybe even a bit higher than that. And they've come right down. So they've dropped. This is business has had a terrible 5 years, to be honest.
Because of the Terminix buy.
This is the thing about buying these mergers and acquisitions platforms. They have to be able to actually integrate these things and compound them. And right now, I'm not so sure Rentokil Initial hasn't eaten something that's given it indigestion. Because
ouch.
The metrics just aren't looking that great. The price to earnings ratio on this is fairly high. But more importantly, the enterprise value to earnings is high. I mean, we're not looking at high turnover growth. We're not looking at high growth in earnings per share. Earnings per share are actually forecast to decline. And yet this business is sat on a forecast PE of, where has it gone? I've just lost it. Hold on. It's sat on a forecast PE of 20, which says to me this business should be growing double digits. Should be growing earnings per share double digits if I'm paying that kind of multiple for it.
Agreed.
It's on a price to net asset value of 2.5 times, and it's not getting the returns on those assets that it should be. It's getting a cash return of less than 5%, and that cash return is shrinking. So I'm looking at this and going, are we at risk here of buying a business that historically has done quite well but has come off the boil? Because if you buy this thing at the wrong price, it may just go sideways for 4 or 5 years once it digests this Terminix acquisition and then gets itself back into growth mode. So you could be looking at dead capital even at £4.
Great points, very well made, Henry. I like to buy a compounder before it becomes a compounder. So, yeah, on a wing and a prayer. No, great points, all valid points. And it goes back again to the sort of I'm looking for a compounder, which is in an industry space, which can't be replicated, can't be overtaken by tech, and they can actually use tech to enhance their returns going forward. Again, that's what I'm looking for. And it's been a drag, that Terminix acquisition.
It might
And
digest it. It might
yeah,
they
it's.
might get through to the end of this and then suddenly take off, in which case you'll be
And
laughing.
so and yeah, and sometimes that happens. And again, a lot of their revenue is it's a UK-based company, got a lot of revenue over in the US as well. Their main competitor, Rollins, has done okay, but they've also been a little bit like that for the last couple of quarters. So I'm looking at the growth and the opportunities and the fact that, infrastructure-wise, UK, US-wise, they're going to need more of what Rollins and Rentokil do. Going forward, so that makes it a resilient potential compounder going forward. But you're right with all the things you've said. It's one of them possibly wait and see sort of stocks to see what they do next. And if that cat if they come out with their next update and say we've smashed it now in the US, Terminix is absolutely going leaps and bounds. Everyone will start to re-rate them. So you might want to wait until that re-rate comes, which is what you're saying. And it might be a bit a tad early. To jump in right now. But yeah, that's the reason why I chose it, because it has the potential to be a compounder. Are better stocks out there with less risk? Absolutely, yes. Yeah, and I'm going to mention two others when you have a moment. If you quickly do you quickly want to mention one more, Henry? Do you want me to
I've
just throw
got
two?
one more, but you're going to really like this, and I think the audience
Oh,
can
am I
too.
now? Okay,
This is a
okay.
current news item or an upcoming news item, which I spotted in City
Okay.
AM this week. Breaking
Okay.
news, well, I can call it.
Okay.
There is a very exciting company coming to the UK Stock Exchange. It's a vehicle containing shares in a £1.3 billion venture capital firm that backs technology spin-outs from no one other than Oxford University.
Oh, I'm already interested. Yes, go on,
This
tell me
is
more.
going to be the very first organization to use the new Pisces Private Stock Exchange.
Right, I was at a briefing regarding Pisces, and then I've not kept track of it. So please tell me more. Come on, come on, come on.
So the London Stock Exchange has confirmed that shares in a company called Oxford Science Enterprises, which is an early
Oxford
stage
Science.
venture capital fund known for investing in quantum computing business Oxford Ionics, will be the first to trade on its private securities market, with an auction taking place in the coming weeks. It's a major milestone for the London Stock Exchange, and it's the very first use of the private intermittent securities and capital exchange system framework, which is where the name Pisces comes from. It's a newly approved market for private companies to trade shares in a manner similar to a public stock exchange. These shares are going to be held in a vehicle known as a tradable private equity investment company, or TPIC. It's an investment structure specifically built to facilitate the trading of private shares, meaning that Oxford Science Enterprises itself isn't going to be listed. The TPIC will buy shares in Oxford Science Enterprises, and you, as the investor, will buy shares in TPIC. Now, you can't currently buy these shares, and I don't know which brokers you can buy them through, but this headline really piqued my interest as a long-term potential compounder. And that's why, when you came up with the topic this morning, I went, yes, let's do that, because I'm all over this story. I'm fascinated by it. So if anybody listening to the podcast has got news about the TPIC, how you can invest in it, what the charges might be like, and more information about how to get access, I'd love to hear from you, and I'm sure the rest of the audience would too. So please don't be strangers.
Fantastic shout that one, Henry. It looks like a fantastic opportunity. I'd be interested to know what sort of valuation they're going to put on this company going forward. But given the spaces that they're going to be in, I think it's going to be a large size entity. As a disclaimer, Just to share with you, ladies and gents, I recently bought London Stock Exchange Group PLC shares. So I, yeah, high risk given all the noise around it. Henry's good.
You
As
see,
in, I'm not sure about that.
I've just sold mine. I think you've bought the shares I sold, Peter, so thanks for
Oh my gosh. It's just as well we don't talk about stocks and shares that we own
that.
and you know off record. And you, because me and you would have been having a conversation going, Envy. Wow. That's very interesting indeed.
I've held London Stock Exchange for about 5 years, and I was getting unhappy with the results that were coming out, and
Yeah,
so I
yeah, yeah, yeah.
decided I was going to take profit and walk away a few weeks ago. Whether I go back to them or not in the future, I'm not sure, because they're now at a more attractive valuation. But there
Yeah.
are I've still got concerns about the way the business is operating and some of the noise around AI. So it's on
Yeah.
the
Some of the
watch list.
noise, yeah, and again, it's a similar sort of thing regarding noise around AI. But they've invested significantly. Their Refinitiv thing was an AI purchase very early before anyone started talking about AI. And given some of the efficiencies they're looking at, and Pisces being one of them going forward and actually branching out into other bits and pieces of the market and the Elliott activism stuff going on. That's what I was like thinking, okay, could this be the time? Could this be the time? The shares were what, 110, £120 per share, went down to 70. And I was like, whoa, is it really that bad? So yeah, nobody what as you know, and you now know my pattern, and you've now fallen into that trap, Henry. When people are selling and
You're
have got
buying.
dismayed with it and tired of things, I'm like, okay. Let me buy some stuff. I was buying some stuff today, and I also bought some Rio Tinto that I'd trimmed it back in a month or so ago, and I bought some Anglo American, which I trimmed and bought back. I'm hoping the markets settle tomorrow, but I'm not bothered. I want to keep adding to those because of the markets that they're in, being mainly copper and other things, including that. But yeah, so I'm excited about that particular first Pisces. Launch what they're in, and hopefully that will bring more inward investments regarding some of the investments that they're making regarding the setup and companies out of Oxford University. That's a fantastic way to start, I think,
I think
with
so.
that.
I think
Does
that
it?
is a fantastic vehicle.
Yeah, fantastic. Any does it say anything about potential size of what that company could be listed at or valuation
Well,
at all?
the venture capital firms valued at 1.3 billion, according
Yeah,
to the
1.3 billion, you
RTI.
said that bit.
So I don't know how much the TPIC's going to be valued at. That's
Right, that's what I was after.
Yeah, the research I started doing was into, I ended up going down a rabbit hole and looking at the companies that Oxford Science actually invests in, and then lost
Yes.
track of the TPIC itself.
You
And
could
so
go all over the place. It's just,
I know I
yeah.
started reading about quantum computing and nanotechnology and all kinds of things, and
It's
I need
all
to come
coming.
back to the investment case.
It's all coming. It's all coming. I will eventually tell you or tell you and everybody else about a quantum computing play, which I'm hoping to get my hands on within the next 6 to 7 months, I think. Yeah, very interesting one, which I'm rubbing my hands together with glee, hoping to get hold of. We'll see if that transpires. Right, I'm conscious of the time, Henry, and I was conscious I wouldn't want to keep you here too late. I'm just going to fire these two stocks so you can speak about the metrics as of two stocks that have been consistent. I'm saying some people say no, inconsistent. I'm going to say consistent compounders over many years. And when we have difficulties like we've got right now regarding the markets and the alternatives that they offer as well regarding the standard sort of fare that they ordinarily sell and are still selling in emerging markets. I think these two stocks should always be investigated for safety dividend compounders. And those are British American Tobacco and Imperial Tobacco. IBM. IMB, sorry.
Boom
Yeah.
piss.
I know you don't
Sorry.
like the sin stocks. I know the sin stocks. You're going to tell me off for talking about sin stocks, tobacco stocks. Nobody wants to, nobody, no one's say advocating you go out there and smoke or vape or whatever. We're talking about the investments per se, Henry. Not ethical investing either. But two stocks there. those two tobacco stocks. And if you can force yourself, just pull the metrics up for them to see what they've done over the past 3 or 4 years. I know you're like, oh, Pete, that's horrible. I'm not doing this by
I feel
stealth.
like I need to give a 100 Hail Marys at my local church for this. Right, well, yes, if we're just looking at this as an investment and pretend it's not what it is for a
It's
moment,
not what it is exactly.
2024 British American Tobacco, the shares were £22. They are currently £44.64 pence.
There you go. There you go. Had an exceptional year, and it's one of those stocks which, talk about all the tech stocks in the world, in the UK and the US. It's outperformed the last calendar year. Nvidia, Google, Amazon, Tesla. Yeah. And if you could be so kind, 40 again, arm up your back. IMB for me, Henry, please.
Let's have a look. Imperial Brands, I believe that is.
Oh, yes, it's Imperial Brands, it's now called.
The
Sorry.
fourth largest international tobacco provider. Oh my Lord. So 2024 up 41%, 2025 up 22%, year to date up 2.5%.
Yeah.
Now, of the two of those, I would say Imperial Brands is the compound. I would say British American Tobacco is the car crash in disguise.
Henry was
So
so rude sometimes. Oh dear.
I think British American Tobacco is people yield chasing. I think
Right.
Imperial Brands is the quality business that
Quality
people are
business.
paying
Okay.
for.
Okay.
So Imperial Brands, much higher return on capital, 17%, much higher free cash flow yield, 10%, much higher free cash flow conversion, nearly 100%, much higher yield, 5.3%. Cheaper on a price to free cash flow basis, cheaper on an enterprise to earnings basis, better forecast earnings per share growth. It's better across the board. If I go
Okay,
back
I'll
to
take.
Imperial Brands for a moment, it's not quite as strong.
Okay.
So British American Tobacco, you've got a cash return of 5% as against 17% with Imperial.
Yes, that's a big difference, actually,
You've
isn't it? Yeah,
got
yeah,
free
yeah,
cash flow of under 50%, 49.6.
yeah.
You've got a falling operating profit. You've got negative earnings before income and tax the last 3 years, and that gap's getting bigger. Negligible earnings per share growth. It's more or less a wash the last 3 years. Stagnant turnover. If I had my arm twisted and I had to buy one, I'd be going for Imperial.
Imperial Brands. Okay, Imperial Brands it is then. We'll pretend I didn't talk about bats. Yeah.
Now you mention it, there was a bit of static on the line there.
But the idea was this to just grab two that other people can go away and research and not go into too much detail. But you've gone into the granular there, and it's absolutely pointed out that bats is the one. Sorry, Imperial is the one.
Imperial is the
Imperial.
one.
Imperial is the one. Sorry. Oh, I can take this a bit. I've had a long day. Right. Anything else you want to add, Henry? I'm conscious we've already done a good hour.
Yeah, no, I think for me, it's just to summarize really, that the businesses we've been talking about today, you've got to pay attention to what a real compounding business is versus just a high yield cyclical that's done well the last year or two. We're looking for something that performs well over the long term, well over economic cycles. It's got durable pricing power, durable economic moats. Can reinvest capital, most importantly, at a high marginal rate. You don't just want to be buying quality at any price. I see so many investors talking about high quality companies that have got high return on capital, but they're not really a true compounder. They've got limited runway or they're very, very cyclical. And when the market shifts, all of a sudden that compounding falls off a cliff, the share price falls off a cliff, the company falls apart. That's not what we're talking about here. We want to rise above just quality cheerleading. You want something that's going to endure over the long term, and that's slightly harder to identify than just looking at a high return on capital employed.
Absolutely spot on. And we mentioned Buffett earlier. I'm not going to quote him, but essentially, what we've got to do when these markets is not panic. And one of the things he talked about was look at all the metrics regarding the stock slash company, but look to invest in a business and get a stake in a business, not in a stock. Because if you're looking at at it as a stock, you'd be looking at the price. Look at the business. And what Henry's spoken about regarding the quality of companies that he's chosen and spoken about tonight is about the business and how they have executed over many, many years. And that's what you want as a compounder. You want something that you can buy now, add to, and not have to go and worry about every other day or every other month looking at the ebbing and flowing of it being volatile. So buy quality. This shake up in the markets that we're having this week and potentially the rest of this month, who knows, will throw up some really, really good opportunities. So if you've got your cash, I always say cash is king. Keep some on the side. It will give you opportunities to go in, and you don't have to buy it all tomorrow or on Wednesday or next week. You can just drip in until you've got the right 1%, 2%, 3%, or whatever you want of your portfolio in that particular company. Yeah. So yeah, that's where we'll conclude, Henry. Thank you ever so much again, sir, for
My pleasure.
masterful assassinations regarding my hallucinations regarding my stock picks. But I appreciate your candor as always. Ladies and gents, I hope you've enjoyed this pod. We've already been inundated with requests to get Charlie Huggins back on this pod. So we'll try and do that for you over the coming months. If he's willing to come back, who knows? And we should have a guest with us potentially on the next podcast. So look out for that. I need to organize that ASAP, if not on the pod after that. But I just want to thank you all for your support regarding the podcast. It's been going for a long time now. I'm losing track of the years of how long it's gone. I think we're in our 8th year, maybe. Now, Henry's coming up for his 3rd anniversary of being dragged on this podcast. I hope he's going to stay for a bit longer and
I
to keep me
absolutely
company, because
am.
I thoroughly love having you on here, mate. So it's brilliant to have somebody you can bounce across. And, having the conversation sometimes where I'm going off piste and drifting off, and you go, ah, I get where he's going with that. And he's talking nonsense, folks, so don't listen to him. I love that we can have that sort of conversation and not fall out. So love that, sir. So thank you ever so much. Ladies and gents, if you're not following Henry Viola Hare on X yet, please follow him on HT Viola on X. Please find his blog, which is where, Henry, again? Tell us where it
It's
is.
the ethicalentrepreneur.com.
Absolutely. Find him on there regarding his fantastic blogs that he puts out. And you can find me and Henry on LinkedIn also, and also on Blue Sky. If you enjoy this pod, please reshare it on X and other platforms. Please let us know on YouTube, and please give us your feedback, and we'll constantly try and feedback the feedback you've shared with us as well. And if you've got any suggestions and ideas and topics that you'd like to nudge Henry on and myself on to talk about, we'll investigate those as well going forward and dedicate a podcast to that. Okay, it's nearly 8 o'clock. I need to go and get something to eat. Henry would like to go and see his boss, his wife, before the evening gets too late. So thank you all very much, and we'll look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks' time. I hope the markets recover and we get some peace and tranquility wherever you are going forward. Look after each other. Take care. God bless you all. Bye for now. Bye-bye, Henry.
Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.